and to represent the work of the American Board of Missions to the Jews, Chosen People Ministry. We know that many of you here are acquainted with this work. If you are not, there is a table as you go out with some literature. I'll be at the back, and you may become a receiver of our magazine, The Chosen People Magazine, and I hope that you will remember this work in prayer and that you will pray for the peace of Jerusalem, because God's Word says, those that love you shall prosper. And dear friends, hardly need to say there has seldom been a time in recent history when the land of Palestine has been in such turmoil as it has been in the last few years. I read in yesterday's paper that there is great fear again that a war will break out because of the hostilities between the Palestinians and the Jews in the land of Palestine. We pray for the gospel as it goes to our ancient people Israel. I'm reminded even today that right now my two oldest daughters are at snow camp. They were privileged to bring with them a little unsaved Jewish girl whose heart is as open to the gospel as anyone's could be. And even now, they may be studying God's Word. And her name is Renee Goldberg. And I hope that as God brings her to your mind today, that you'll pray for her salvation. We have been speaking these evenings on the book of Daniel, one of the great books of God's Word. Sir Isaac Newton said, to reject the message of the book of Daniel is to reject the truth of the Christian faith. Here we see revealed to us in such detail what is to transpire in the future that one cannot for a moment question that this book that we hold in our hands is the inspired living Word of the living God. We have seen in the two services that we have had together that the prophet Daniel lays out what will transpire in a period of time called the times of the Gentiles. This word is on the lips of our Lord Jesus Christ in Luke chapter 24 and verse 21, where our Lord says to the disciples that Jerusalem would be trodden underfoot until the times of the Gentiles should be fulfilled. This is a period of time, beloved, when God's people Israel shall be set aside because of their unbelief, and God will allow the Gentile nations of the world political and social and economic dominion, social and economic superiority over His people. That period started at the time of Nebuchadnezzar, as we saw on Thursday night, and stretches all the way to the time of the return of our Lord Jesus Christ. Chapters 2 and 7, we saw that the course of this Gentile rule will see the rising and the falling of four great world empires: Babylon, Medo-Persia, Greece, and Rome. We saw that this final empire, the Roman Empire, has two phases. It has an historical phase, one that is past, the time of our Lord Jesus Christ and shortly thereafter, and it has an eschatological or prophetic phase, which is yet future, where there will be the revival of this fourth empire, and one we saw of the significant end time rulers will arise. The little horn of Daniel chapter 7, a world political leader will come from this confederacy of nations. He will knock down three of those 10 horns as he comes to power. And then we saw that there is one whom Antiochus Epiphanes, this terrible Seleucid leader of the 2nd century B.C. who persecuted God's people, who desecrated the temple in Jerusalem by the slaying of a sow on the altar, Kislev 25:168. There is one who will be his anti-type, a world religious leader who is going to appear on the world scene. And along with Satan, this ungodly, this counterfeit trinity will seek to bring the entire world under the worship and the domination of Satan himself. We come now to the 9th chapter of the book of Daniel, and if you have your Bible, I invite your attention to this great text, where God, through his prophet, tells of a time when unrighteousness shall be removed from his people. We will see not only will God pay for the penalty of sin and break the power of sin over those who are his children, but someday, dear friends, we shall be removed even from the presence of sin. Verse 1, in the first year of Darius, the son of Ahasuerus, of Median descent, who was made king over the kingdom of the Chalcedonians, in the first year of his reign, I, Daniel, observed in the book the numbers of the years which was revealed as the word of the Lord to Jeremiah the prophet for the completion of the desolations of Jerusalem, namely 70 years. So I gave my attention to the Lord God to seek Him by prayer and supplication with fasting, sackcloth, and ashes. Daniel was reading the book of Jeremiah. And as Daniel read the book of Jeremiah and contemplated its message, he came across Jeremiah chapter 25, verses 11 and 12. And again, Jeremiah chapter 29 and verse 10. Both of these passages, the prophet Jeremiah, speaking through the Spirit of God, says that Babylonian captivity for the sin of idolatry, for the worship of Baal, will be 70 years in length, and then God will allow His people to come back from exile and to return to the land of promise, the land of Palestine. Daniel prayed to find out when the end of those 70 years of Babylonian captivity are going to come to an end for the sin of idolatry. Now, someone might say, Daniel, why do you need to pray about that? You know when Nebuchadnezzar came down and took the Jews into captivity, why don't you just subtract 70 years from the fall of Jerusalem and you will know when the 70 years are over? Well, those of you who know your Old Testament history realize that Jerusalem was besieged by Nebuchadnezzar three times. He came down first in 606, 605 B.C. and laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And while he had the city under siege, word reached him that his father, Nabopolassar, had died and that he should return home and accept the crown as the head, as the king of the Babylonian Empire. And so he took some of the vessels that were in the temple in Jerusalem and some of the finest of the young men. Among that first deportation were Daniel and Mishael, Azariah, and Hananiah, men that you know better by the names Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. 10 years later, Nebuchadnezzar came down and again he laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And he was unable to bring about the fall of that city, and he had to return home again with some captives. And in that deportation, he took the prophet Ezekiel with him. And 10 years later, in 586, 585 B.C., Nebuchadnezzar came down and he laid siege to the city of Jerusalem. And on the 9th of Av, interestingly enough, the exact day in the Jewish calendar where the second temple fell, the 9th of Av, on the 9th of Av, Nebuchadnezzar was successful in entering the gates of the city, destroying that beautiful temple which had been built by Solomon, and taking captives back to the land of Babylon. So what Daniel is doing, dear friends, is praying and asking God from which one of these sieges the 70 years of Babylonian captivity begins. Did it begin with the first siege or with the last siege? Or did it begin with the second siege? And remember, I've said along these various messages that one cannot help but admire Daniel the prophet. We read that he gave himself to seek God by prayer and supplication and fasting and sackcloth and ashes. If Daniel was a lad in his teens when he was taken from the land of Palestine to Babylon, then chapter 9 occurs when Daniel is in his late 80s and or early 90s. I know many of you in the audience can identify with what kind of health, what kind of physical condition Daniel might have been in. But you'll notice Daniel recognized that if you want to receive God's communication, if you want to be God's prophet, you cannot short circuit, you cannot try to get around God's provisions. You have to do things God's way. Most of us would have excused Daniel if he'd have said, well, look, at my age, sackcloth and ashes are far too troublesome, and to fast at my age, my goodness, it wouldn't be good for me. But Daniel goes all the way with God. And in verse 4 through verse 19, we have one of the great prayers of the Bible. We'll not have time this morning to speak in detail of this prayer, but let me encourage you to study it. Interestingly enough, in all three exilic books, there are great prayers in chapter 9. Daniel 9, Nehemiah 9, and Ezra 9. Three exilic books in chapter 9 all possess great prayers on the part of God's spokesman. And in verses 20 to 23, we read that God sent Gabriel with the answer to the prayer of Daniel. And it is to verses 24 to 29 that we want to give our attention. Verse 24 says, 70 weeks or 70 groups of seven or 70 weeks of weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city to finish the transgression, to make an end of sin, to make atonement for iniquity, to bring in everlasting righteousness, to seal up vision and prophecy, and to anoint the most holy place, or possibly the most holy one. So you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with moat and plaza even in times of distress. Then after the 62 weeks, the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the Prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war, and desolations are determined. And he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. But in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering. And on the wing of abomination will come one who makes desolate, even until a complete desolation. One that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Beloved, as Daniel prayed and meditated and thought about the conclusion, the end of Babylonian captivity which God brought upon his people for the sin of idolatry, as God often does, God gave him a prophecy of far greater scope and far greater importance. Daniel was concerned about the end of 70 years of captivity. God gives him a prophecy that covers 70 weeks of years, or 490 years, a period of time when God will not only remove from his people the sin of idolatry, but he will remove from his people unrighteousness altogether. We see that summarized beautifully in verse 24. If you like to take notes or write in your Bible, you can put by verse 24, summary of 70 weeks. We read, 70 weeks have been decreed for your people and your holy city. Now, these are not 70 weeks of days. These are not 70 weeks of years, but these are 70 weeks of weeks. Now you see, in the Semitic mind, you can have weeks of days, you can have weeks of years, or you can have weeks of years. Now let me show you what I mean. In the Jewish mind, there was a week of days, the seventh of which was the Sabbath. Got some people who are right on target. You could have weeks of years, the seventh of which was the sabbatical year, right? And you could have weeks of years, the 50th year, which was Jubilee. And the word here is not the usual word for weeks. It is a Hebrew word that means heptads, or groups of seven. And so this period of time spoken of in this prophecy is not 490 days, not even 490 weeks, but it is 490 years. And it has a reference to your people and your holy city. Now, it is always important, dear friends, to note the addressees of a text. You can get yourself in endless trouble. Do you think this has to do with Jacksonville and the assembly here at Keystone Heights at Park of the Palms? No. It has to do with whose people? Daniel's people, who were the Jews, and Daniel's city, which was Jerusalem. Got a good group here this morning. Lord bless you all. Let me tell you something. There is an interesting debate going on here. I don't know whether you noticed or not. Let your eye drop back to verse 19. In this great prayer of Daniel, Daniel ends by saying, God, have mercy on your city and on your people who are called by your name. I want you to remove the captivity and to restore them for your name's sake. He says, your city and your people. And look at what God says to Daniel in verse 24. He says, no, Daniel, you have it wrong. They're your people and it's your city when God's people, Israel, are in unbelief and in sin. God says to the prophet, no, they're your people, and it's your city. Look at what's going to take place. There is going to be the finishing of transgression. There is going to be the making an end of sin. There is going to be making atonement for iniquity. There is going to be the bringing in of everlasting righteousness. There's going to be the sealing up of vision and prophecy. And there's going to be the anointing of the most holy place. In this 490-year period, we said God is not just going to wipe away the idolatry from His people, but He is going to remove unrighteousness from His people altogether. And it's interesting, those six infinitive phrases can be divided into two groups. If you look at them carefully, the first three are negative. The last three are positive. The first three have to do with the taking away of sin and unrighteousness. The last three have to do with the establishment of taking away of iniquity. The last three have to do with the establishment of righteousness. So God is going to take away the sin of His people, and He is also going to impart His righteousness to them. Now someone asks, is this 490-year period completed? Well, the answer to that, I think, quite clearly is no. And you can always test an interpretation in terms of its fulfillment when it's prophetic. Now, I realize that most of you live in a much more sedate community than I do, that you all live in this wonderful, heavenly Zion called Keystone Heights, Florida. But if tomorrow you were to get on the plane and return to Chicago, Illinois with me, and we were to go down into that city, I think it would not take us very long to decide that everlasting righteousness had not been brought in. But now, let's look at the details of how this is going to take place in verses 25 through verse 27. Now, listen carefully to what I'm going to say. In verses 25 through verse 27, this 70-week period, or this 490-year period, is divided into three groups. Hear that? Three groups. 7, 62, 1. 7, 62, and 1. And if we translate that into years, 49 years, 434 years, and 7 years. 49 years, 434 years, and 7 years. In verse 25, beloved, we have week 1 to 7 and weeks 8 through 69. Here is what Daniel writes, so you are to know and discern that from the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem until Messiah the Prince, there will be 7 weeks and 62 weeks. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Let me again emphasize that God desires that we understand the prophetic word of God. There are some people today, if you hear them talk about prophecy, if you hear them talk about the prophetic word of God, you would think that God was playing a neat trick on all of us. He gave us this stuff in enigma, wrapped in a mystery, and that what these texts mean is anybody's guess is as good as anyone else's guess. Dear friends, it ought to be a source of enormous encouragement to us to read like this first phrase of verse 25. So you are to know and discern. God intended His children who study His Word to understand the prophecy of Daniel the prophet. Now notice, this 490-year period begins with the issuing of a decree to restore and rebuild Jerusalem. Now, a lot has been written about which decree that period of 490 years begins with. Let me suggest to you that there are two, in my judgment, which are possible. The first is a decree issued in the seventh year of Artaxerxes, in the year of 457 B.C., spoken of in Ezekiel chapter 7. Second decree is a decree that was issued in the 20th year of Artaxerxes, in 445-444 B.C. One time I thought the latter decree was better. I now think the former decree is correct, that this period of 490 years began with a decree issued in the seventh year of Artaxerxes in 458-457 B.C. Now watch. Said three periods. Now let's watch them. The first period was over in 7 weeks of years, or in 49 years. When did it come to a close? Look at the last phrase of verse 25. It will be built again with plaza and moat, even in times of distress. Why is this 7 year or 49, 7 week period or 49 year period set off from the other 62? I think, beloved, because in that period, the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary was to be rebuilt. During that period, the city with plaza and moat was to be rebuilt, and Daniel the prophet says, even in times of distress. Now let me tell you something, beloved. As I said, no wonder liberals want to tell you that the book of Daniel was written in the 2nd century B.C. They don't want us to believe that it was written in the 6th century B.C., because only the Spirit of God knows the future in this kind of detail. About the end of the 5th century, about 400 B.C., the city and the sanctuary had been rebuilt in fulfillment of this prophecy, and it had been done in perilous times. Read Ezra and Nehemiah. When does the next period end? It ends, beloved, with the coming of Messiah the Prince. Weeks 8 through 69 come to a close with the coming of Messiah. If you take 445-444 B.C., you generally take the close of this second group of weeks, 62 of them, to end on the triumphal entry of our Lord Jesus Christ. And as I said, it is possible that that is correct. I don't think it's the best, and my reason for thinking that, beloved, is that it would put the crucifixion of Jesus Christ in the year 32 A.D., which I think is an extremely unlikely year for the crucifixion of Jesus Christ. If you begin, though, with 458, 457 B.C., when does this second group end? Well, between 1 B.C. and 1 A.D. is only 1 year. And if you subtract 483 years, that's 7 and 62, you will get 26 A.D., which, if you take 30 A.D. to be the year of the crucifixion of our Lord, 26 A.D. would have been the year that our Lord Jesus Christ entered into His messianic ministry. It would have been right at the time of His baptism and His temptation. Verse 26. Then after the 62 years the Messiah will be cut off and have nothing, the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary, and its end will come with a flood. Even to the end there will be war. Desolations are determined. Verse 26 is after week 69, before week 70. You see, between the second group of weeks and this third group of weeks, there is an interval of time. And the Spirit of God says that during that interval, two important things are going to occur. Messiah is going to be cut off and have nothing. And the people of the prince who is to come will destroy the city and the sanctuary. The two things that are going to happen in that interval are that Messiah will be crucified, and that the city of Jerusalem and the sanctuary there will be destroyed. Our Lord Jesus Christ, the word that is used in verse 26 for cut off is a very violent word in the Hebrew. It means to die a violent death. It would be a word that would well depict crucifixion. The Messiah who has come will be cut off and have nothing. What does that mean? He came to offer himself as Israel's king, to assume the throne of his father David. He was rejected. And in 70 A.D., the city of Jerusalem and the temple were destroyed. 67 A.D., a rebellion was fermented where the Jews tried to gain freedom from the Romans. Titus Vespasian was sent to put down that rule, that rebellion. And while he was in Jerusalem, in the Holy Land with his troops, word reached him that Nero had died and that he was to return to Rome to assume power as the Roman emperor. He left his troops with specific instructions that they were not to destroy the temple. And on the 9th of Av, 70 A.D., a soldier in the excitement of battle threw a torch into the temple mound, and that magnificent temple that had been rebuilt after the time of the exile and had been expanded and enlarged and beautified by Herod went up in flames. Beloved, let me say this to you. Verse 26 has been used of the Spirit of God to lead more unsaved Jews to faith in Jesus Christ, I think, than any other text in the Bible. The man who was the founder of the mission I represent this morning hour, Rabbi Leopold Cohn, was reading this text and he saw that Messiah had to have come before the destruction of the temple in the city of Jerusalem in 70 A.D. and he saw that it was wrong to look for the first coming of Messiah. And he began to study who best fit the Old Testament picture of the Messiah before the destruction of the city of Jerusalem in 70 AD. And he came to believe that it was Jesus of Nazareth. Verse 27. And he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week, but in the middle of the week he will put a stop to sacrifice and grain offering, and on the wings of abomination will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. Here we have the final segment of this 490-year period. Verse 27 says, and he will make a firm covenant with many for 1 week. Beloved, here's what makes Bible study both difficult and interesting. Verse 27 begins with a pronoun. Do you remember when your high school English teacher said to you, when you have a pronoun, find what? The antecedent, right? Two antecedents have been suggested. The first is Messiah the Prince in verse 24. And there are some who believe that the reference in verse 27 is to Messiah who will make a covenant, the new covenant with His blood, with many. Now, there are two reasons why I think that is wrong. The first is that Messiah's covenant with many is not for 1 week. It is an eternal covenant. Secondly, if the referent is not the prince who will come, there is no reason that he should be mentioned at all in verse 26. In other words, if the prince who is to come is not the antecedent of the he of verse 27, then Daniel simply should have said, a people that will come are going to destroy the city and the sanctuary. Who is this prince who's going to come? Friends, he's none other than the little horn of Daniel chapter 7. He is this world political leader. He is going to make a covenant with many for 1 week, for 7 years. What he's going to do is to guarantee the social and the religious autonomy of the Jews. He's going to allow them to establish sacrifice and grain offering, which is an Old Testament way of saying to reinstitute the sacrifices and the Mosaic system of the worship of God. But notice, in the middle of the week, he will put a stop to this, and on the wings of abomination will come one who makes desolate even until a complete destruction, one that is decreed is poured out on the one who makes desolate. A difficult phrase. But dear friends, I think what that means is this, that when this political leader stops sacrifice and grain offering, there is going to be placed on one of the portals of the temple the abomination of desolation, which is an idol. And the sanctuary of God, beloved, is going to become the center of satanic worship. So that this 70th week is not the week of Messiah, but it is the week of Antichrist. Listen to this. He will have success until a complete destruction that is decreed upon him is poured out. Read 2 Thessalonians 2. When the Son of God comes in His glory, He will destroy the works of these satanic masterpieces. Beloved, listen to this. How is God going to remove unrighteousness from his people? Closing quickly, notice first of all, he is going to remove the penalty and break the power of sin by the coming of Messiah, verses 25 and 26, who will die as God's Lamb on Calvary's cross. How is he going to remove us from even the presence of unrighteousness? Well, beloved, God has set limits on the power and the success of this ungodly trinity in the end times. God says, you will be successful, you can only go so far and then no farther. And Jesus Christ is going to return and destroy the power of the beast and the false prophet. And he is going to establish his kingdom on this earth. And beloved, unlike Yeshua, Joshua, the son of Nun, who sought to lead his people into Canaan, but the writer of the book of Hebrews tells us they never entered into rest because of disobedience and unbelief. This greater Yeshua, the Lord Jesus Christ, when he comes to break the power of Satan, will lead us, beloved, not to some earthly Canaan where we will be free from even the presence of sin. But the writer of the book of Hebrews says that there is a rest for God's people that is yet future. And listen to what John has to say as he closes the revelation. He says, "And I saw a new heaven and a new earth. For the first heaven and the first earth passed away, and there was no longer any sea. And I saw the holy city, New Jerusalem, coming down out of heaven from man, made ready as a bride adorned for her husband. And I heard a loud voice from the throne saying, Behold, the tabernacle of God is among men, and he shall dwell among them. And they shall be his people, and God himself shall be among them. And he shall wipe away every tear from their eyes. And there shall no longer be any death. There shall no longer be any more mourning, or crying, or pain. The first things have passed away. And he who sits on the throne said, Behold, I am making all things new. And he said, Write, for these words are faithful and true. Verse 14 of chapter 22, Blessed are those who wash their robes, that they shall have the right to the tree of life, and may enter into the gates of the city. Outside are the dogs, and the sorcerers, and the immoral persons, and the murderers and the idolaters and everyone who loves and practices lying. You see, someday, when God breaks the power of this wicked one, we shall be removed even from the presence of sin and unrighteousness. And the last message John pens in the Revelation is this, And the Spirit and the Bride say, Come. And let everyone who hears say, Come. And let one who is thirsty come. Let the one who wishes take the water of life without cost. Oh, believer, we're headed for the heavenly Canaan, where we will not only be free from the penalty and the power of sin, but from its very presence as well. And if you're here tonight, and you're not on the, or this morning, and you're not on your way to the heavenly Canaan, to you the Spirit of God says, Come. We hear today, this morning hour, say, come. If you're thirsty, come and take of the water of life without cost. Let's pray together. Heavenly Father, thank you for this great prophecy. Prophecy of the promise of the coming of Messiah. To be cut off and have nothing that He might make redemption for our sins. The promise of the second advent of Messiah, when He shall break the power of the prince of this age, and we shall be removed then even from the presence of sin. May we not be disobedient, that we should miss out on the rest that is promised. Should there be someone here this morning hour who does not know Christ as their personal Savior, speak to their heart, we pray. We say with John, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. Amen. Amen.